I'm Sylvia Burgos Toffness, and this is Deep Roots Radio. Every week, my guests help us connect the dots between what we eat and how it's grown, because every single food dollar we spend either protects or degrades the environment, produces foods with high nutrition or empty calories, and either helps pay a fair wage or keeps farm workers among the working poor. We get to make that choice every time we push a cart through the grocery store, visit the farmer's market, and eat at a restaurant. I hope you enjoy this interview. At last, it's January 2021, and anybody listening to this podcast has lived through nearly a year of amazing, unforgettable events. We've been in the grips of COVID-19. We've watched or even been involved in disturbing, hurtful social unrest. And we're witnessing and feeling what appears to be an economic freefall. We've learned to wear masks and to keep at a distance. We've watched schools open and close and open and close, and many of us, including me, can hardly wait to hug a friend. One of the new skills we've had to develop because of social distancing is using internet platforms like Zoom to take classes, hold meetings, keep in touch with our family, and attend professional conferences. I suspect that there are millions of us who've clocked hundreds of hours in front of our computer screens. And I've got to admit, I'm a little fatigued. So, what do you do when you're planning your annual Organic Farmers Conference, an event that attracts nearly 3,000 people every February, and an in-person meeting is simply not going to be done? Well, if you're Moses, you break the mold and take this year's event to a whole new level. I can hardly wait, and I hope you enjoy this interview. Everybody has been Zooming. And sometimes you get kind of zoomed out. You know, how much time can you spend in front of a computer screen? Mm-hmm. And so as we approached, as the board of directors of Moses kind of took a look at the February dates for its own conference, we wondered, wow, what are we going to do? What's going to capture people's attention? What's going to provide farmers and other people who are active in the organic food production field, what's going to cause them to get real value mm-hmm. from a conference that we might put on? And I'll tell you, the staff at Moses became a creative whirlwind, an amazing force that came up with not only a great idea for this conference of Moses, but came up with a totally different approach to how anything is going to happen in February. And with us this morning, in order to describe this really breakthrough, one-of-a-kind conference that's coming up, is Lori Stern, who is the executive director at Moses. Good morning, Lori. How are you?
I'm good, Sylvia. It's good to hear your voice.
Oh, it is so nice to hear you, too. Thanks so much for being available to be with us this morning on Deep Roots Radio. Lori, you've been the executive director at Moses now for just a few months. You came on in September, and you came on with loads of experience that I think is just right for such a time as this. You have run a farm-to-table restaurant, Cow and Quince, which is a community-supported restaurant in New Glarus, Wisconsin. So you bring that perspective to it, but you also have a lot of background in community and environmental health, social justice, and food access. And you continue to have a small farm, don't you, with your wife near Monticello, Wisconsin, where you grow vegetables and raise chickens and goats. So you still stay very much in the soil and with the livestock still. Lori, when it came to trying to pull together a conference for 2021, what were the things that staff took into account, and what did you end up creating?
Yeah, well, you know, I joined the team when this was very much in progress, so I just want to give the staff the credit for that creativity that you referenced earlier. And I think that what they really took a look at is the fact that the Moses Conference has historically been one of incredible connection, and one where farmers of all different kinds that are organic and sustainably producing food can come together and meet their needs. And so we recognize that with all the other conferences that potentially also happen in the winter, that there was going to be some overlap. So kind of back to that idea of people being zoomed out, looking at, could we engage some of these organizations who are already partners, because we all like to play well together, and see if we couldn't create one big event collaboratively, and so that people didn't have to pick and choose, people didn't have to be in front of their computers for hours on end. And so I think that was where the staff started, was how can we, you know, collaborate with other folks in the organic and sustainable farming community to create something that everybody will want to be a part of, rather than trying to divide people's attention or get them exhausted from being in front of a computer.
Right. So it's really what I'd call, it's a virtual conference, right? So this is being done in space, cyberspace, and brought right into your home and your screen. But it's considered a 5-in-1 conference. So is it a number of organizations all deciding, I'm going to hold my annual conference in conjunction with yours? And what are those organizations?
So yes, that is true. So it's Grassworks. So they are grazers. The Organic Pork Conference, which is usually out of Iowa Organic Association. O-Grain, so they do organic grains and work with those farmers. They're out of the University of Wisconsin. And then the Organic Vegetable Production Conference, which is really, that's Fair Share Coalition. So they're the community-supported ag veggie farmers predominantly, and that is usually done with collaboration with UW Extension. So those are the partners that make up that 5-in-1 virtual. And then there are other folks that we're really excited that are also going to be providing some content for the conference, and they are partners as well. And that would be like Intertribal Agriculture and Mother Earth News, the Real Organic Project. So it's great because we've got the 5-in-1 partners, but then there are also other partners that have come to the table as well to provide some really exciting content.
You know, I was going over the program last night, and I was so excited by it. I really was, because usually the Organic Farming Conference is a 3-day event held in La Crosse, and it's a oh my gosh, it is a filled program. Usually there are 3,000 plus people who attend the conference. It's a busy, busy place. And like you said, you have to choose what kind of workshop you're going to and who you're going to meet up with. Your day becomes absolutely filled. But you've actually framed this new conference. You and the other partners have framed this new conference over 6 days. So what kind of programming has been created for this virtual conference?
So yes, we did spread it out because no one has to pay for hotel rooms and meals and travel and cover their farm chores and all of that. So it also kind of helps with the idea of not wanting to sit in front of a computer all day. Certainly those of us that farm aren't used to being very sedentary. So basically we're doing two workshops each of those days, two workshop sessions, but there are multiple workshops happening. So there is a little pick and choose, but the nice thing about a virtual setting is that all of these things will be recorded. So potentially you could have access to all of the content. You don't have to pick and choose. And then we have time in the exhibit table. We still have our round tables. We still have a research forum. So a lot of the things that are still at the conference, we're trying to recreate in a virtual setting, recognizing that part of what's so exciting about being at the Organic Farming Conference, and many conferences actually, is those hallway conversations, those connections that you make as you're leaving a workshop room, the conversations that happen over meals. So trying to build into the conference workshops and exhibit halls and roundtables, those opportunities to continue to engage with the community and not just be one way consuming the, you know, virtual media. So every workshop is going to have a question and answer period. We're making it possible, recognizing rural broadband struggles, for people to be able to call in for those question and answer sessions and maybe just get the didactic pieces of the workshops in a recorded format so they don't have to worry about competing broadband, especially as kids are often at home now working on schoolwork. So we're just really trying to build in as much interaction as we possibly can throughout the schedule and make it a little bit simpler to suss out what you want to do at any given time. Because as Sylvia said, there's always so much going on at that MOSES conference. It kind of vies for your attention. So we're trying to simplify it and stretch it out over more days so that's possible.
Yeah, I saw that. That was such a great plan. Now, one of the things intrigued me, I mean, a lot of the things on the program do, but one item in particular caught my attention as I was going over some notes this morning, and that was about live music and a virtual cocktail party. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yes, I know. This is so great. So again, back to that idea of how do we provide opportunities for people to still be in community? And La Crosse Distilling has been a longtime partner of ours, and they're right there in La Crosse. And so it felt really good to be able to reach out to a La Crosse business, recognizing that when we made the decision to go virtual, there are lots of, when you bring 3,000 people into a location, there are lots of things that we bring, economic development, lots of food pantry donations, you know, people get more tips, people are using restaurants around the conference. Like, we recognize that our not being in La Crosse was going to have a serious impact on their economy. So we're trying also to be good, good partners with the city that hosts us. So La Crosse Distilling is great. They're organic. And we just reached out to them. It took, I think, one conversation to say, hey, would you be willing to kind of host this virtual cocktail hour, like make a cocktail? We can all do it in our own homes and have a toast and then bring in live music, which is something they would normally do. And so they've just taken a hold of that event themselves and taken it on themselves. And it will give us all a little bit of opportunity to tap our toes and have a nice cocktail on Friday night as part of the conference, which is great.
What a good idea. You know, in these last 8 months, whatever it's been, one of the things, as you know, Lori, that's happened is that people are attending and participating in virtual baking classes and cooking classes like crazy. So bringing in this idea of, hey, let's mix something at home in order to enjoy music together, that's just so in keeping with, I think, people's enthusiasm. And I think acquired familiarity now with doing things in their own kitchen, guided by kind of an expert on the screen. So love it. How's it going to work with the exhibitors?
So the exhibit hall was one thing that we really were hoping to make sure that that was robust, not only for our exhibitors, but I know for a lot of us, the conference was the opportunity to say, hey, I'm gonna go to the conference and be sure to, you know, pick up my mushroom plugs. And I mean, those exhibitors often are places where we do a lot of our shopping and ordering for the year. And how do we maintain that for the benefit of the exhibitors, but also to the people attending? And so the platform that we've chosen for this virtual conference enables people to have booths to basically have somebody in those booths in the exhibit hall, and you can wander in, you know, virtually wander in and start having a conversation with who's ever in the booth. And if somebody else walks up to the booth, they can hop in, and all of a sudden you're all in a conversation, which is great. Wow. So we're also looking at, you know, helping those exhibitors identify ways to do still, you know, conference specials, coupons, things that really will engage participants and give us some value from that exhibit hall, those of us that attend, so that we can still get some of those, you know, those deals that we get when we go to the conference and visit exhibit halls. And we're also making it so those exhibit halls don't have anything really competing with them. So we're hoping that participants will really honor the fact that these folks are supporting the effort in a very strange time, in a very different way. They've taken the risk with us. And that the folks that attend the conference will go ahead and visit those booths and interact with those exhibitors and make it the kind of experience and exciting place that exhibit hall typically is at the conference.
Mm. You know, one of the things that I've always enjoyed at the conference have been the keynote speakers. So is that still going to happen this year?
It is still going to happen. We are a little bit behind in how we would normally identify those keynotes. I think that there's some opportunities this year because people don't have to travel. So when you think about bringing somebody in and you think about where are they coming from, where were they yesterday, can they get from point A to point B, are we going to have a blizzard? So we're taking a moment and really saying, you know, who would we love to have, and reaching out. So we're having some conversations. I am not yet able to disclose. I think we're getting close. But we know for sure that the Real Organic Project, which, you know, they're keeping the conversation going on organic standards and what does that mean. They're going to be closing out the conference with a very action-based message and then a panel related to those actions. So that'll be really exciting to leave the conference with some things that we can go and do in our own lives, in our own communities, and for those of us that, you know, maybe want to reach a little bit broader than our own communities, some things that we can do related to, you know, organics and how we're defining those practices. So that's really exciting. We do have kind of a sort of an entertainment sort of keynote. Michael Perry, who is an amazing author. I'm a huge fan. Mm-hmm. And he'll be joining us on Tuesday night for a little bit of humor and reading. And, you know, he's a farmer himself. And so I'm really excited about that. So that's a little bit lighter. And then there are two more keynote spots to fill that are shaping up, I think, to be really, really exciting. So it'll happen, and I think people are going to be really, really excited about what we offer for the opening keynote and then kind of an evening in the middle of the week.
You know, that's kind of fun. Kind of it'll be an interesting surprise to see who it is that you're able to find and present of these speakers that you're reaching out to. And that's one of the things certainly that's happened, you know, out of COVID, is that you got to be kind of nimble. You got to kind of operate with your knees flexed in order to get things done. And you guys have done such a great job of pulling things together creatively. So one of the things that I certainly always make a beeline for at the conference is the bookstore. How's that happening?
So we opted this year, I had mentioned Mother Earth News is one of our partners, and they're providing some content that in the past has been something of interest to both kind of homesteaders and farmers alike. So more of those, you know, value-added products and alternative building materials and those kinds of workshops. So Mother Earth News is providing some really great content. I think, you know, as a media organization and somebody who's been doing the online work actually a little bit longer than we have, they were a great partner to bring in, and they'll bring some great content. And they also have offered to run the bookstore for us. Again, just you think about, you know, because things have to get shipped and all of that, that it was better to grab somebody that already had that capacity. Mm-hmm. So Mother Earth News will be the main conference bookstore exhibitor in the exhibit hall, and we're giving them information about all the different presenters across all those workshops, and if any of them have books. You know, Mother Earth News has a lot of those titles already. We also have Acres as an exhibitor, and so they will also have some books with them, but the main conference bookseller this year will be Mother Earth News. So people will have to just head for their booth, and again, they're great at, you know, letting people order and getting those orders out way more efficiently than I think we could, because that's not our main business. You know, we sell books at the conference where you can just hand them to somebody, but this is a different level up. So it's great to have them there to bring that capacity.
Oh, good. Good. I won't be starved then for the books that I really, really want. So, Lori, you know, things changed in 2020, where so many more people became aware of the various weaknesses and chinks in the chain of our food system. The consumer had their eyes opened to the either availability or lack of availability of local foods, what it was like to have processors closed down and see shelves that were sparsely stocked. Do you think that a consumer, a person in the general public, might find it interesting to attend this conference?
I think absolutely they would. You know, in years past, Moses as an organization has been very firmly farmer to farmer. And I think that consumers are absolutely not only interested in issues of food systems, but also interested in supporting those folks that are in their communities and creating food that is healthy for them and good for the community. And so I think, you know, bringing Mother Earth News into the mix, providing some content, that's a great way in for consumers. The Real Organic Project has a very heavy consumer approach as well, and they're doing not only that last keynote but a couple of workshops. So I think there are definitely spots for consumers to plug in, and I think, you know, the benefit of the fact that it's virtual, the cost is much less than it typically would be when you have to, you know, rent the facility and feed people throughout a conference period, that it makes it an affordable option and a way for consumers to absolutely get a little bit more educated on what are some of these practices, interact with farmers, which has been a real joy, I think, for a lot of people that recognized for the first time this year that they should maybe hook up with a local farm for their proteins or for their veggies and get to know their farmer. So I think this is a nice opportunity to do that, too.
You know, we've got numbers of other questions, I think, to kind of explore the answers to. But I thought maybe at this time you might let people know, how could they find out more? How could they register? Where would they go?
Absolutely. I think probably the fastest and easiest way in terms of communicating it over the air would be to just go to the Moses website. So that's mosesorganic.org, O-R-G. That's key. And you'll see the conference right on the front page. You can click into that, and it'll take you to the conference site where you can register online. We make it super easy. And then you'll be in the mix and get all the information as it comes. You'll be able to see the conference. The conference guide is already up. You can take a look at what workshops and keynotes and all of that are available, and who's supporting the work. So our some of our sponsors and exhibitors are listed there as well, and you can make that decision. But yeah, we make it really easy. Everything can be done online, and then the platform will open up that hub, and you can start selecting what workshops as we get closer to the event. So mosesorganic.org, fastest way to get there.
Great. That is a much easier way to get there. Dave Corbett, as you've been listening to this, any kind of questions come to mind?
One of the things that I'm not a big high-tech guy, so I'm this is all kind of new to me, but can an unlimited number of people log into a specific program, or how does that work, or are they limited?
For the most part, it is pretty unlimited. When we thought about, I don't think anything's ever going to replace being in person. I think we've also recognized that after this last year of just how much we crave community. But the nice thing is, you know, we can add workshops all the way along here, whereas, you know, if you're in a physical place, yeah, the room size determines how many people can come in, the number of rooms you have determine how many workshops you can have. And so this is a little bit of an unlimited environment, which is really lovely. I think it would take, you know, more people than we would ever be able to get to hit capacity in any one of these rooms, which is really great.
There are usually many, many workshops when you go to a conference. So what kinds of workshops are being offered?
Oh, goodness, so many different workshops. So we typically, you know, kind of break the content up into sort of different topic areas. And so there's, you know, business marketing and management for your farm. So how do you do that business planning, creating a business plan, figuring out how to be efficient and profitable, how to market to consumers. Then there's information on, you know, how to become certified organic and what that takes. There are farming systems, so the different production methods and production types, because Moses has always been, you know, not a not a single topic, and now we've got these great collaborative partners that are bringing that content as well. So on grazing, on raising pork, on vegetables, on fruits, on other perennials. So all of those production methods that are so important to farmers. And then because we have the grain folks, we're looking at field crops, row crops, different grains, how to do that organically, sustainably, different rotations. And then there's, of course, that health homesteading track that I mentioned. Leadership in communities. So how are we keeping that vital and making sure that we're being good stewards of the land? And then, of course, all those livestock workshops as well. So each, if you think about each partner, has provided some really deep content, which is great, that their conference attendees would typically see. So I think it's just we get to go a little bit deeper in some of these areas even than normally we would, because we have them with us and their attendees and their content, and they're driving that content.
Right. And Ken, this is a conference that should be attractive and valuable to organic and sustainable growers, those who are thinking about it, as well as to food lovers, consumers, who I think have gotten a real look at what's behind the conventional food system and have really made efforts to buy more local and to buy more healthful. You know, as we wrap up here, Dave Corbett, any last question or thoughts?
Well, I think we should really give the website and the information again before we say goodbye.
So that is to register and to learn more about Moses, and then also even some of our partners, go to mosesorganic.org, O-R-G, mosesorganic.org.
Visit my website, bronxtobarn.com, to download this and past interviews, to learn about my farm, and to reserve 100% grass-fed beef. We deliver to Minneapolis and St. Paul, Minnesota. Thanks.